Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Pastor Moseki, good afternoon to you.
My elder, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Lovely, fantastic, man. Great to have you. Did you have a good day?
Yeah, it was a good day. Though pretty hot.
Yeah, man, you know, that weather there. Well, we've experienced some very hot weathers as well here this time around. Thank you so much for having been with us, by the way, since Monday. And today we have arrived at the last day of our discussions. Oh, man, it has been beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I must say thank you so much to you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Now, Paul describes Romans 1, the idea of human unrighteousness as a progression and showing how rejecting one aspect of God leads to ever greater rejections of Him. But God does ever reject us, but does God actually ever reject us as well, leaving us to the wiles of the devil? But before we get to that, let's actually get to this one first. How does the Bible tell us to resist the temptation?
The Bible has a number of ways in how it communicates to us how we should resist temptation. We see first implied in the book of Matthew chapter 4, where we see Christ, every time when he's met with a temptation, he uses the word of God as something that it's his MO, modus operandi. And then you also have the injunction from Paul, mm-hmm. where he says that we should flee from temptation.
Yeah.
We see it in Corinthians, we see it in Timothy, you know, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. So basically avoiding environments or triggers that tempt us is a practical way to resist temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is to guard our hearts and our minds, according to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So when we guard our hearts and our minds, it means that we make sure that things that affect our minds, the things that affect our thoughts, are things that are pure, as Philippians says, pure, that the things that are pure, things that are true, things that are good. So, and finally, the Bible says that you should put on the whole armor of God in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. So those are the practical ways, or the ways in which the Bible tells us to resist temptation.
Beautiful stuff. Now, in Romans 1:28, Paul says that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. What would cause what would cause God to give up His own children to a depraved, reprobate mind?
And that's a wonderful question. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about the unrighteousness, especially of those those who are not given the oracles of God. But then he says something about conscience. He says something about nature, that nature is there to teach them about the existence of God. And also there is human conscience that tells them that this is not natural, this is wrong. But they ignore all those things and they go ahead and do wickedness. So Paul says in verse 26, verse 28, that God just left them to pursue whatever they want to pursue. It's like He gives them up. He's giving up on them. And why is He doing that? God does not force us into obedience. He tries to communicate in ways that we can understand. And when we resist that communication, then He has no choice but to let us or leave us be and reap the consequences of that which we are pursuing.
Yeah, and is the fight then against temptation a forever struggle? Or perhaps do we actually eventually become immune to it?
Eventually we become strong enough to not even be bothered by that temptation. When someone had a life before they met Christ, and now they live a life in Christ, there are certain things that you can say, look, you know what? I used to struggle with this. This used to be my problem. But it doesn't even, I don't even consider it a problem anymore. something that, yeah, some other things they challenge me, but this one I've overcome it. Now, God is just showing us that with those little things that we've overcome in our individual spaces as Christians, He's demonstrating to us the power of His grace, that any other temptation that easily besets us, as the Hebrews says, we can overcome it and get to a point whereby we are not even bothered by it. Not that the temptation is not there, but He finds nothing in us that fits with it, because we have accustomed our minds and our habits to doing that which is good and right before God, such that something that is not right before God becomes repulsive to us.
Now, can we then desire godly things just as much as we desired the things of the world? Because I do notice that many people will say, yeah, we desire, heavenly things and God's things. But you notice that, they desire worldly things much more. So can we reach a stage where we can actually desire godly things as much more than we desire worldly things?
Mm-hmm. And this question, I see it as a more refined question of the previous one, or form of the previous question.
Yes,
we can get to a point whereby the things that you used to desire that are worldly, things that you used to pursue that are godly, we can have the same energy, the same determination, now is channeled towards godly things. Let me just give an example. There's a man called Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. He was so zealous in persecuting the Christians. And when he met Christ, when the grace of God overwhelmed him, he used the same energy, the same dedication now to preach the gospel. And there are people who overcame. I won't talk about this other ministry. It's called Coming Out Ministry. They are based in America. And these are people who lived an authentic lifestyle, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to overcome that. They are now married. They have wives. They have husbands. And they're advocating for a biblical form of marriage, strongly so, just as much as they were doing while they were on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just something to show us that any other thing that we're struggling with, we can get to a point whereby, you know, the same desire, the same level of desire for worldly things, it can now be channeled to worldly things.
Mm-hmm. And can that be sustained throughout one's life, or there would be a point where people just have pitfalls and get to fall?
It can be sustained throughout, but there's something, some good news. You know, John says that if we sin, in 1 John, if we sin in 1 John chapter 2, mm-hmm. we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And this is to say that this just shows that, you know, temptation, as long as we live in this sinful world, as long as the devil is still there, as long as the tempter is still there, there is a chance that we can sin. And if we sin, there is always a way of going back to God and have a right standing with God, because that is what matters, basically. So there are other people who can, not other people, but it just depends on how one is connected with God. If I let go a bit, I can slip and fall. But if someone is very vigilant, then they can hold on until. But slipping and falling is not the end of the road. No. The wise man says that a righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again.
So which means that when one may happen to fall, they must not give up and just say, you know what, it's done, game over, I've been defeated. They must actually rise up and continue.
Yes. Just rise up and continue on the path.
Beautiful.
On the battle.
Oh, fantastic, man. Well, Pastor, it's been a fantastic one. We've said a lot of things since Monday. And we've learnt a lot. I personally have learnt quite a bit. And I do hope that our listeners have as well. I'd like you to maybe just one or two words, just to impress upon our minds. And of course, remind us what is it that after all is said and done, this is what we should be holding on. Over to you.
Amen. What I would like to say is that, you know, in this struggle with evil, in this struggle with sin, we are not alone.
Mm.
That is what we need to know. we are not alone. Mm-hmm. We may be alone, humanly speaking. There's no human being to support us when you're going through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that God is always by our side, and His promise that He will never let us go. We just need to extend our hands of faith and hold on to Him, and He will give us strength and show us a path and rescue us from the torment of sin and of temptation.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for joining us this week. And I wish you a fantastic weekend. Ugara mudimo agaweza hantle and cover you, ausirelize, and make sure that you one day we meet out there in the clouds of heaven if we don't meet in this side of heaven.
Kalifantate, may God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.